and life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want the money. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. Your love.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tamara. She's AV and looking for a single on the board. All dressed up today. We're not exactly sure what's going on there, but no, we got no yoga pants today.
I have business to do.
You have business. You have dress up business instead of yoga business.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. S&P futures up 1675 as we're talking about coronavirus stimulus today. Dow futures up 109. We got a bunch of earnings this week. All kinds of stuff happening. A lot of stuff happened this last week, but we're talking about $1 trillion on one side, $3 trillion on the other, and everybody's negotiating away, so we'll see what happens there. Do we have Audrey?
Yes, you do.
How are you?
Good morning, just fine.
I haven't seen you for a day. So the, is Nancy calling in? Because that would break the two female rule.
Yes, so brace yourself.
Oh, God. Now the question is, if you and Nancy start ganging up on me, will AV lose all loyalty and join your side?
Of course.
What's a union thing? Female union?
Yes.
Well, that's all right, you know. God. So Audrey, we want to talk about some real estate stuff. Obviously, some big changes. Well, not changes, but crazy stuff in that business. And I think one of the craziest things is it's very difficult to plan because, clearly, in Illinois, we've had a big drop in cases and deaths and everything. Some other places we still haven't had much of recovery in commercial stuff. But in other places, it seems like, it's April for them. The virus is piling in some places, but you have massive moves where people who are downtown don't want to be downtown anymore. We have all kinds of things. What are you seeing? I mean, clearly, you've been busy, partially is because your area never really... Nancy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing all right. I just doing the best I can here now with the three female rule being broken.
You are so lucky, you just can't believe it.
Oh, God.
Three?
More than dad.
We have you, we have AV on the board, and we have Audrey. So that's three, and we're... Nancy, might have to move to a different spot. We can barely hear you.
Well, hey, I want to know, what is Notre Dame doing for school?
They actually were the first one that said they were going back early.
Okay, is that still happening?
I believe so. They're going back early. They're not, this is the last I heard. They're going back early, they're not having a break, and they're ending before Thanksgiving, so I guess it's going to be somewhat of an armed camp for the semester.
I think it's worth trying.
Well, I mean, I think you have to, as you know, I'm on
the... I think everybody needs to go back whatever it is that they do with job, school, as soon as possible.
I think you're right, and it's but right now, I mean, there's a group of doctors and people just said we should start all over and put everybody back in their houses and do it right this time. Boy, oh boy.
What's there right about putting everybody? I don't know if you could even do that again. I think that's. Maybe the place where it's overrun because people were stupid. I mean, look at Florida and all the beach parties didn't do that state any good. And same thing in Florida. All the warm weather states are the ones that seem to have been overwhelmed by people who couldn't wait to be outside and get together.
Well, you know, the weird part is that I want to talk about real estate and mortgages here, but it's amazing how the big lie permeates. The more people tell people that it's young people on the beach. Does anybody have any evidence whatsoever that the stuff is passed on the beach by young people from one to the other?
Well, I think the odds are very high, just like Chicago's Lincoln Park is a new hotspot because of everybody's been out partying in tight quarters. And unfortunately, when you're in tight quarters, your odds go up, whether you're in or out.
Well, I'm going to say before we start talking about real estate, is just because things may seem to be intuitively obvious, they sometimes are not.
Well, I think you have to go on the side of science where things can be passed in close contact. But unfortunately, this seems to be something that is easily passed in close contact. Do we all like it? No, but I think you have to go with that idea until something else is planned.
Well, New York sent everybody home, and they had more cases there than they have any, than they've had anywhere, and more deaths. They have four times as many deaths as Florida, or three times as many. And everybody thinks the guy's a hero. They sent everybody home and to die at home. I mean, so you gotta be, you have to sort of be careful. The governor of New York sent everybody home early. There were three times as many deaths in New York as there have been in Florida.
Well, I think they were also the first, and nobody knew how to handle it. So I think you have to weigh each situation separately.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that we have an awful lot of, shall we say, misinformation flying all over the place.
Well, I think there's misinformation. I think it's a first-time situation. I think it's learning on the fly, which unfortunately involves a lot of deaths. So I think we're just kind of feeling our way here.
New York is
but I think we're doing the best we can.
New York is down to. I actually have a thing here I sent out to people that are normally on the show, and wondered which you guys didn't get it. Sorry, they're. In Illinois, there were 3.5% positive tests of people getting tests. These numbers are a little rough. They had something like 45,000 to 50,000 people went out and got tested, and there's, well, whatever 3% of that is, like 1,700 were positive. What possesses 48,000 people to go out on a day like yesterday, wait in a line somewhere and get a test if you feel fine?
I'm not quite sure about that. Though some people are required, some people's business are requiring them. Medical procedures are. But I think what I found very interesting is the amount of false reporting. Florida, especially, and also Texas, has had a huge false reporting where they just reported recently like 98% of people were, you know, positive. And now it turned out it was 9.8%.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of bad news reporting going on, and I think needlessly scaring people.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that if you take Nancy, feel free to opine on this. If you just look at what's happening, say in Florida, I see all these pictures. I get all this stuff all day. Whatever. I don't know if it's good or bad, but the cars are waiting in line for like an hour because nobody wants to get out of their car, right? So you get wait in line for an hour. One day they had 110,000 people or something take tests. Now, you come out of that with 10,000 people that are positive, okay, which is 10% or whatever. You don't get your results for 5 days. So if you get a negative result, what do? Go back in line and see if you got it again? I mean, the motivation of somebody you're right, right? If you're forced to by work, if somebody shows up with it and they make everybody else go
and
get
it. And you forget there's an amazing amount of hypochondriacs in the country, too, who will go for anything, like the first new test, the first new pill. So
people are going to buy
if there's nothing wrong with them just because they're afraid.
The test they use has like a 5% false positive. So if you start getting numbers of 3% and 4%, I mean,
so they're terrifying some people too.
But Illinois is down to 1.1% positive, and one person died yesterday of it. And yet we're thinking about shutting everything down again. What are we doing? Do you see the as I was driving around yesterday morning listening to news radio 78. I don't want this to be like you or Nancy be like the Gladys Kravitz. They interview some guy. First of all, how the hell? Is this guy can't get a life, and why is he on like damn near national radio? He must live in one of the high priced condos across from the lake. You know where the one spot is. You can actually have fun on the lake where you can anchor. I mean, having a boat in Chicago is about the most ridiculous thing. You can't go anywhere. There's no restaurants. The only thing you can do is run down to that spot by the treatment plant and hop in and party there. That's all anybody.
Well, now you have all the places on Chicago River, but I don't know how many of them are open either.
Yeah, I don't know how many of those are open. Plus, you can't just tie up there. I don't think. Maybe a couple places you can, but anyway.
Yeah, you can. Remember the river last year? They've got all the new river walk places.
A couple places had docks, but not... Anyway, so the guy's on there, and all he's doing is ragging because these people are out there not wearing masks, like in the water and having fun, and they have no respect for the COVID. What is this guy, the male Gladys Kravitz? What is the point?
Crazy people. You know, crazy people everywhere. There's nothing you can do about that.
I have a request. If I ever do that, please shoot me.
Okay.
That'll be quick.
All right. So what's going on in the mortgage world? What's going on in the real estate world? I know you got some people moving from the city out there. Nancy, you got people. I'm sure that are downtown as well. What's going on down here? Are people fleeing the? I hear these rental buildings are come November 1st might be fairly empty.
I mean, I just haven't heard that the people downtown are fleeing out. But then again, I think people are angry right now. People are feel unsafe right now. I see where the people feel that the protesting is an issue in itself, and that part is okay that you want to protest, but breaking windows and looting and stealing, and people fear that. And once they have fear starts, and then being locked up, you know, being on the lockdown was unprecedented. No one's ever done that before. They only want, you know, 2 to 4 people in an elevator at a time. You know, in downtown, that doesn't sound like a hard request, but, I mean, usually elevators are packed.
Yep.
And they have, you know, 10, 12 running at a time. So I think people are just confused, worried, and every time you turn on the news, it's, you know, there's a delivery of negativity, so I think people are just scurrying for whatever makes them feel safe right now.
What?
Yeah, I think you're right, Anson. You just see it. I see it. I've heard it more just because I deal more directly with what buyers and sellers are doing, and you definitely get the. I mean, we've already seen the statistics of people going, "Wow, I don't want to be stuck in a box in the sky. I want a yard, at least, where I can go sit outside." And especially if all of a sudden they're trapped in the sky with a couple of kids and you can't take them out, or you can't, there's no place to go, to walk, to exercise, to take your dog, your kids, whatever, and all of a sudden high-rise living doesn't sound so great anymore.
The dogs have to distance themselves as well?
We've seen a lot of that. I mean, I've got several calls already, people saying, "Get me out, get me a yard, get me some green space that I can call my own."
How long do you think you can go before there's kind of like permanent changes? I mean, to me, it's already...
Oh, I think it's done already. A lot of people have found out that they really like working from home. I think companies like people working from home, and I think this is going to greatly shift the landscape and real estate values. It's going to... all of a sudden, maybe Jim Beam, who a few years ago leased an entire floor in the Merchandise Mart, might think, "Hey, maybe we don't need so much real estate if over half of our people or 3/4 of our people can work from home, and we only need to meet with them physically, maybe once a quarter, and otherwise we can handle everything remotely. The same money's coming in, so let's make everybody happy." People are happy because they've gained probably anywhere from 1 to 3 hours of their lives back every day, maybe more. If people are spending over, you know, 2 hours a day commuting, and then you end up saving money on gas, time, food expenses, clothing expenses, and all of a sudden it's up for people to stay home and work, and it's a win-win across the board.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. I've always thought, obviously, in your business, or Nancy's, where you guys essentially, I mean, for you, there's not really much reason, Odd, for you to dash 10 miles to pull into the office just so the boss can see it and turn around and go right back home and start showing houses by your house. I mean, there's no doubt that that's always been something. So you have your office in your place. But I tell you what, the people down here that I run into, you get different stories from different people. A guy on Thursday, of course, he knew me because the board stuff, everybody knew me from the floor, but he goes, "Chief, you wouldn't believe it. I am so happy to be down here." The poor guy, I don't know if you told Nancy this, the guy gets divorced in like February, moves out, gets a one bedroom apartment without a balcony, and then he's locked in. He goes, I am so happy to be back at work. There's only a few of us there. I feel like I died and went to heaven. I got to leave that place and go somewhere else.
Well, you're talking social skills more than socializing more than work.
No, he said this whole idea. You know what, though? I hate to be dogmatic with three women after me here this morning, but this idea that you're as efficient at home, other than somebody who's done it like you guys your whole life, that's such BS. I mean, call the state today and try and get a driver's license, a new title or something. Call Social Security, see if anybody picks up the phone.
No, I disagree there. I think people could be much more productive at home if they're not worrying about child care or commuting or, you know, it depends on your type of business, obviously. But many companies and people are finding out that it works, so it's changing.
I don't disagree that some of it's going to change, but I don't. You can't tell me that somebody is more efficient at home with three kids running around than they are at work.
No,
I
think there's a balance. I think there has to be a balance to this, and it depends on what the person's situation is.
Right.
So, I believe if you're at home and you're doing Zoom calls and you have a work oriented job where you're doing paperwork and your computer screens all day. I think those are the people that don't necessarily miss going downtown. Homeschooling for the kids, that's a whole other subject that has to, you know, like, kind of like stay to the side. But I think the real estate, commercial real estate is going to change downtown. And possibly you're going to start to see, you know, empty spaces, which is going to force or could make incentives for the manufacturing to come back here. There's no doubt, like the state driver's license facilities, your currency exchange, they just kind of have to be open for the public to walk in and, you know, be taken care of. But I think there's a line here where there's two there's two or three separate issues. The guy who's, you know, stuck in his one bedroom apartment all day, there's no doubt that is mentally unstimulating and not good for anyone. I believe they're actually saying we get more work done from home, but then there's no socialization with the other people. And the camaraderie and the idea of team working together kind of goes out the window.
Well,
everyone's sick of Zoom calling each other to no end.
As the people that nobody like anymore, the old white guy boss. I got news for you. When a phone starts to ring and somebody says they're home from the COVID, and nobody picks it up by the fourth ring, and they're supposed to be helping, it frosts the living bejesus out of me because they're not here. And if I have something extra I want somebody to do, guess what? The guy who's not here never gets that job. I mean, I'm just saying, as an old grumpy guy, I want to see what you're doing. You know, everybody forgets that in 1984, that the boss could see both ways. He could flip a switch and look and see what you're doing, right? This idea,
right.
You know, this idea of you're at home on your own. I tell you what, man, everybody knows I manage money for my clients. I enjoy doing that. I enjoy my clients. By the way, we do the radio show. There's literally thousands of dollars worth of stuff in here to where if I have to put an order in, I have a computer just for that. I have all my quotes on two other computers. The idea that I can grab my laptop and be just as efficient at home is with this whole setup we've taken us years to make. It's such BS I can't even go there. Just saying. I'm not everybody, obviously, but...
Right, right. I don't think we can stay in this stage forever, but I do believe that there's a certain segment of jobs that can stay kind of like the way they are, but people need to be... manufacturing has to have their people there. There's just no way around it, right? You have workers in the plant. Things go wrong. Your engineers have to be there. There has to be, your purchasing department has to be there to find out why their shipment isn't there, because you need the incoming to have the outgoing. So it's a problem that we haven't solved yet, and it's going to take a long time in the making to ever figure it out, if ever. You know, would it be different if it's not an election year?
Lance, you weren't on the other day, but you got a shameless plug. Actually, you both did, maybe because I knew you were both coming out and wanted to be nice to me, but I think in this world, I don't know if you noticed, that Nashville just was the first one a week ago to raise their property taxes, like 34%. I mean, I very seldom get dogmatic on the air other than some stupid stuff, not really about people's business. But it's not just what you do and do a nice job. I think if somebody doesn't take advantage of these mortgage rates right now and get their loan down as low as it can be for these inevitable tax increases, they are really doing themselves a disservice. This isn't just, I'd like to pay $100 less a month. This is, you better pay $100 less a month because the tax increase is coming. It's the first time I've ever really felt that. It's not so much that they would like to do it, and I'd like to have you get some business. They need to do it. You need, if this stuff starts rocketing up, or if inflation starts rocketing up, you better have that 20-year mortgage for 3% or whatever the hell it is now. If not, you're out of your friggin' mind. Just saying.
Well, I had someone yesterday, I've had two people in the past couple of weeks that have had, you know, like a mortgage, 30-year mortgage rate of like 4.75%. And let's face it, back in the day, that was a great rate. And, now you could take that same, and let's say they're 13 years into it. So they figure they only have 15 years left to go. So they go on the computer, they figure it out, they say even if I go down to like, you know, 2.5%, I'm paying the same thing I am now, so why go? And I said, because your interest, you're going to pay less in interest. And he said, well, how much could that be? So I sat down yesterday and actually figured it out for him. And it turns out the number was, if he kept going the way he was going to pay $85,000 in interest. You're still going to pay, you know, your principal back. That's even. And if he went to the 15-year, 2.5%, he had to pay $32,000. So there was a 50 some thousand-dollar difference between the two.
That's real money.
And that's what people are not realizing, is that $50,000 in interest that they're paying, they are going to need that for other issues now, like you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, plus you guys can go out and buy some big honking pickup truck with that.
Oh, that was odd, I thought.
Yeah.
But it's a huge number. It's a, you know, cash flow-wise, it's the same, because he's paying the same, let's say, $1,000 every month. But he's doing it for a lot less years. And then he is saving on the back end on interest like crazy.
What's the best you can do on a 30-year?
It's a three-tier thing. It's how much of the house do you own? Is it a single family dwelling or not? What's your credit score? And then how much of it are you going to own? Okay? And so it could be a 30-year right now. It could be 3%. It could be anywhere from 3 to 3.5 if you have bad credit. And then a 15-year could be anywhere from, you know, 2 3/8 to, you know, 2.625, somewhere in there.
I mean, that's all free money to me.
Are there, Nance, is the idea of the, what do they call them, the assignable mortgage to the next person, is that going the way of the dodo bird?
That's the way of the dodo bird. That's not even possible anymore.
So it's been stricken out of the dictionary?
Pretty much. Assignable mortgage.
Yeah.
Pretty much gone.
They did the Joe Stahl, and they wiped it out of the dictionary. Don't even know if you're supposed to remember they had those.
Yeah, really.
It's, as you can imagine, a couple times we've had some chowing adult beverages over at Audrey's. I mean, I'm just so worried that in 3 years these rates are going to be back up and the taxes are going to be back up. That, you know, you might be in your house for a lot longer than you think, because the transferring of it might become more difficult. But right now, I honestly believe that everybody needs to get one of these loans if they can get it from the, if you have a business, you need to get your mortgage rates down. I mean, you just have to act, and if God help you, if you've got $10,000 on a credit card paying 25%, have Nancy wrap it into their mortgage if she can, cut up the damn credit card and never go there again. I mean people need to use their head right now, I think. That's just me.
They need to get rid of their credit card debt. Seriously, they do, because we're all going to need a place to live. As you can see, a lot of people are putting money into their homes, which is good. but we're gonna be here for a while. I mean, there isn't gonna be this, you know, move every month thing and move every year. And it's gonna be an interesting. It's totally changed from what, you know, I grew up with. Totally, but there's so much more advantage now. There's so much more information out there. I mean, if you don't refinance, you're kind of missing out. The unfortunate part is, if the person doesn't understand why they're refinancing just because the rate's lower, they have to understand, like this man did yesterday, where you have to understand that he's getting something for his money. He's saving $50,000 in the long run.
Nancy, how do people find? We don't have much time. Nancy, how do people find you? I mean, Audrey's got a commercial. They don't want to find her. How do people find you?
Audrey's got a commercial?
Oh, yes, she does.
What's your email? What's your phone?
Oh, I'm Nancy at A as in Apple, F as in Frank, dot U as in United, S as in States. This, I just made it so easy we can't really screw that up. And then my phone number is 708-341-9601.
All right, we're going to tweet that out, but send the stuff in and we'll tweet it out. We'll have it on the site. You guys were terrific.
Okay.
You guys are trivia. You didn't gang up on me too bad. AV said she.
You were lucky.
AV said she was going to stick up for me. I don't think I could have trusted her for that.
Yeah, we let you off easy today. Be forewarned.
Thank you very much, guys. Next time in the studio, I hope. Of course, there's no place I can't even take you to breakfast down here. It's crazy.
That's it, then. Not until you get fed.
Oh, God. See you guys.
Thanks.
S&P futures up 14.
Bye.
Be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Sparks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. She's Angelique of Lysenko on the board. All dressed up today. I think she's got a big date. I'm not sure, but she won't let loose of the reason here, but we'll just keep pushing to see why the yoga girl all of a sudden is dressed up. S&P futures up 1675. NASDAQ futures up 104. Dow futures up 84. Plus, you almost got arrested on the lakefront for sitting. You're supposed to be in motion.
Yeah, it happened on the weekend.
So, were you going to call me for bail or what?
You never know, maybe. Maybe they will next time when I'll be on the lake.
Yeah, make sure you have everybody's phone number. See if anybody... what exactly is the charge?
I don't know. They didn't name it. But they asked me twice.
Maybe John will know. He's an attorney. Or he used to be, or he is something. We'll ask him. Attorneys are supposed to know everything, like the
good
professor
to have
and
a friend attorney.
Yeah, we always have good to have friends that are attorneys. The DAX up 25.2%, FTSE down 15.2%, CAC around down 13.2%. So quiet in Europe today. In Asia, Nikkei down 35.1%, Shanghai up 8.2%, Hang Seng down 102.4. So quiet over there as well. Bonds 0.58. They've been as 0.58 to 0.62 for like a real long time. Bund down as minus 0.47. That's maybe a tick or two lower. Japan, positive 0.01. We've got oil up a dime to 41.39. Brent up 9 cents, 43.43. Natural gas down 4 cents, 176. RBOB down a penny, 127. We've got gold up $40 to 1938. Wow. Silver up $1.73. 24.58. This is unreal. This is unreal. I'm looking to see where my stuff is. It looks like I'm kind of buried again on some of these calls in this gold, even though I redid my whole position. Copper 289. I'm not so sure. Every day it goes up, and every day I say, boy, I wish I would have bought yesterday, and don't pile on, but it looks like you need to pile on. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning, friends. Happy Monday. It's 37 past the hour. Showers and thunderstorms are possible again today, mainly south of I-80. A cold front moves through by late afternoon, bringing in a cooler and drier air mass to the region. Expect highs in the 80s and mostly dry conditions through Friday. We have 40% chances of rain. The highest of the day should be 83 and the low is 68. 86 degrees currently in Phoenix. Another sunny and dry day with highest of the day is 109 and the lowest 88. No issues in traffic at this hour of the morning. There might be significant delays on Adams East from South 31st Street up to Roosevelt Road. 87 and South Cottage Grove is closed for shooting investigation. A crash reported on I-55 southbound near Joliet. That's what I got.
What about sports? Or sports are back? You gotta get into the sports thing now.
Are sports back?
Yes.
Really?
Really?
How about quarantine, COVID-19?
No, everybody's out there. No people in the stands. Although, if you want to get yourself a whole bunch of dates, which you could, what is it, $500 to have your picture up in Sox Park, Chan?
They're
putting the cardboard cutouts.
The rooftop decks are operating in Wrigley Field, too, across the street from Wrigley Field. Somebody told me that the other day, which I thought was interesting. Probably reasonable. Because they can have food and everything, so.
Well, but I think the, what's the story with, I think you need to. You can pay $500. What do you call it? You can pay $500, and it's your picture in the cardboard cutout.
Oh, I kind of like that idea.
Yeah, why not? I mean, what the unbelievable, huh?
What I'm thinking about it, I don't know how you feel about this, but one of the things I always enjoyed about sports events in a live stadium is that you could really gauge things that even announcers often couldn't tell you with a play-by-play, but when there's a really bad call by an ump or where there's an incredibly stupid play somewhere, the crowd reaction, you know, who was, you know, intently watching the game a lot of times, knew more about what was happening than a lot of the announcers. And how do you substitute for that when you don't have anybody in the stands? I mean, what is it like to just listen to people yammer about it who aren't even in the stadium? They're reporting it from home like Reagan used to do in his old radio days. He just make up play-by-play when he couldn't see what was happening.
Well, you didn't actually make it up. You had a...
He just said he made it up.
Well, I think he had an ad-lib a little bit. How's that for a term? But there was an I Love Lucy episode where she ended up as the person there doing the ball game. And what you had to do, I mean, literally, this is no craziness. You had a board in front of you with a series of all these special effects, and you'd get the. I mean, this took real talent, by the way. I mean, I don't think I could do it on a whole lot of practice. Maddie maybe could, but. Yes, you had a teletype that would tell you what would happen. It would be like ball one, strike two, that type of thing on the teletype. And then it would say, there's a hit to center. And there was a button you'd hit, which would be a crack at a bat, and then you'd hit another button where you hear the crowd noise. So you had to do the game from your spot. And all you got was this running teletype of the balls and the strikes and the outs and who they hit the ball to. So... It was really an art form to be able to do that.
Oh yeah.
But talk about crazy stuff. But John, I was sending everybody this weekend. I have all these kinds of questions, and I ran into a gentleman last night, and a lot of things are really concerning me, as you all know, because we go back and forth on a lot of it, and talk a little bit about Audrey and Nance. But I'm getting more and more concerned about people who only are at home watching like one TV station, because the news they're seeing, and we talk about this all the time, it's not news. It's designed for ratings. It's all the hype. Yesterday I had so many people who were working in a place outside, inside, and the poor guys are hot, and I'm running back and forth to Home Depot and getting everybody lunch and doing all kinds of stuff. And well, at the end of the day, I'm going, I'm not cooking. So I trundle my ass down the block to the Tripoli, and I bump into this guy who's a retired attorney, pretty liberal, but real, real bright guy. And he's been, you know, pretty much locked in. He's been following kind of the rules. He's got his I'm going to rob a stagecoach mask on. It doesn't look like it's been washed in 4 months, right? And as Carl said, those things should be all burned in a hazmat file. Anyway, so we're talking about this, and I said, well, you know, my read of the thing is on the 17th of March, when they closed it down, nobody knew what we were dealing with. You didn't know anything about T-cell immunity. They got people on ventilators. They're killing. I said, I was, you know, pretty worried. But as every day has gone by, I think things have gotten better in terms of treatment, certainly in Chicago and New York and the places that had it earlier. I mean, where we seem to be over the hump. Pretty much. I mean, there's still a few people that are getting it, but nowhere near like there was. And everything's pointing down. You have a little hot pocket here, a little hot pocket there. Well, John, I'm absolutely convinced that the latest thing to close bars is to close these clubs at night. It has nothing to do with the COVID. They don't want people at these clubs drinking 3 in the morning whenever you're shooting everybody on the way home. But
I agree.
Anyway, that's another issue. But and he says to me, what are you talking about? It's way worse. The guy's name's Luke. I go, Luke, what are you talking about? It's way worse. How could you even... He goes, look at Phoenix. Look, we're not in Phoenix. they've got to go through their same thing that we went through here. This thing is very contagious. But the fact is, there's not a whole lot of deaths there, except in areas where, I mean, obviously in some of the, Native American reservations where nobody is running water and there's a lot of older people. Yeah, I mean, I'll never say that there isn't a problem. But, I mean, to think that things are worse than they were in March, he said, well, that's what I hear every day. I said, their job is to hype you. That's how they get ratings. I mean, there's no way on earth you could say for somebody sitting here in Chicago, things are worse than they were in March. It's not even on the same planet, Jan, or where am I wrong?
Not at all. I mean, I'm completely with you on this. And the fact that the media, and not just the media, but the CDC and other government outlets have continued to focus on labeling positive test results as cases is really the problem for me, because those do not, if you have a case of something, it means you have a documented doctor's chart somewhere that says you have this, you are being treated for it, you have made this kind of progress with it, you've been diagnosed as having the disease. But a positive test result doesn't mean that you have the disease. It doesn't mean that you ever had any symptoms. It doesn't mean that you've ever been sick. And yet these are being pushed as if they are somehow live, you know, examples of people suffering from this condition, such that they either required hospitalization or should have been hospitalized or, you know, should have seen a doctor or you name it. And that's totally wrong. And not only that, I mean, it's beyond deceptive because it implies that we aren't beating the disease.
Well, what,
and all that just means is that...
Jan, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this to ourselves? I mean, I equate it to self-flagellation, for God's sake.
I'm you know, concerned that people are being pushed to the limit to take abuse all the way around. It's to tamp down their willingness to fight back, to respond quickly.
But why? What, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you on what is happening. It's like you're giving people a lobotomy. It seems to me. I mean,
right.
But why? What is the purpose? Who's going to benefit other than Amazon and these other places? I mean. Are we really looking to put every small... I mean, it can't be that organized. It can't be. I mean, obviously, I get all this stuff from the some of the crazies on the right that it's all this deep state and, you know, George Soros. I don't think George Soros is that smart and he's too old. I mean, I don't think he's organizing. I mean, come on. But somehow, some way, does it have to do just with, you know, ratings and so forth? I mean, I was going to put out, tomorrow maybe when Maddie's here, we'll tweet out. It is astounding, you know, this to me is our generation's, the America's example with the big lie. I mean, the whole idea, I mean, I can't even, I was looking through the statistics yesterday, I think I sent something to you, now of course I can't find them, but I was going through state by state, the amount of positives they're having on their tests. In some states, like Illinois, is a 3.5% positive. Now we're talking about a test that can give you a 5% a positive when there isn't even a positive, right?
Right, right.
But I'm not going to do the math there and say there's nobody here that has it. I'm sure there are some people who have it. So we've got 3.5%. So if you look at the number of cases and you do the little Gozinta like Jethro, it looks like something like 40 or 50,000 people got a test like Friday or Saturday. What possesses 45,000 people to get in their car and go get a test when they feel fine? Now, obviously, if somebody tests positive at work, some places now are making, you know, 50 people go get a test, whether they need to or not. But, John, you're not getting your results for 5 days or 4 days or three. I mean, in some places more than that. What does that even do for you? I mean, if you don't have it, then what do you do? Get back in line and take a test again next week?
Right. I mean, in the meantime, there's absolutely no treatment that's, you know, available or recommended. So getting a positive doesn't, you know, do much of anything other than tell you you had something at one time. And if you're not feeling sick now, there's really not much you can do or should do. But, you know, I even wonder about the number of tests being administered, because I've had opportunities to drive past when I've had rental cars in the last couple of months for various reasons. I've gone out Forest Preserve Drive west of Narragansett, and there's the COVID-19 testing facility where the old Reed Mental Health place was at Oak Park Avenue there. And, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, there was a line trying to get into that facility that wrapped all the way around down Forest Preserve Drive to Harlem and way south on Harlem. The street was closed to other traffic. This was just for people who were poking along with their headlights on, their cars running and police all over the place waiting to get into this facility. And I went by there a week ago last Friday, and there was nobody. It was open. It said it was open. There wasn't a single car there. So, and that was a Friday morning, 9:30. Normally, that would have been jammed in previous weeks. So if that place doesn't have a lot of people being tested, do any of these places? So I'm beginning to doubt even the number of tests that are administered, Tom. I don't buy any of these numbers. Right.
Yeah, well, I don't get it. My conversation last night, the guy's an attorney. I said, where do people get the authority to do these things? And he goes, well, every state's got like statutes of emergency powers. I said, well, at some point, don't you, like, our girl, AV, was told to move along. She was sitting on the lakefront by herself. You still, even when a lakefront's open, only if you're in motion, you know? Okay, so Lori comes out and says this. Does that become? I mean, it didn't get passed. Is that an ordinance? What's the penalty? Can they?
That's a new definition of loitering, I guess. I mean, but to me, that's just cruel behavior to people. What is the lakefront for except to sit and enjoy it?
But how do people
walking along, watching every step you're taking, and forget that you're right next to this beauty spot in the Midwest? You can't drink it in. You can't take it in. You can't get off your feet for a couple of minutes. Who the hell made that up?
Why is it we seem to be, maybe it's the new TV, because one of the guys, the guy who bartends at Tripoli on Sunday nights, Scott Benjaminson, he's the actor, he's been in Chicago PD, he was Rudy's brother in Rudy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Real nice guy, and we're talking about this, and he, you know, he's, well, not that he agrees with me once in a while, but he's way more liberal than me, but I said, you know, Scott, there needs to be, the three of us were talking, he and I and the other attorney, and I go, I said, there needs to be, I understand that if all of a sudden a new wave of smallpox hits, and I'm governor or president, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure people protect themselves. I said, okay, but now there's a regular flu, there's a real bad flu. There's something that's two times worse than the flu, there's something that's eight times worse than the flu, there's smallpox, there's Ebola. I mean, it's like we know pornography, you know, but we don't know maybe light porn. I mean, what's the soft porn? What's the one in the magazine that was all soft porn? The guy's
magazine.
I don't know. I know Penthouse was more than, well, it wasn't porn. But anyway, but the saying somewhere along the line, do you get to do this? There needs, after 15 days or 30 days, you can't have every mayor, every governor, essentially declaring their version of martial law and competing with each other. There has to be some sort of a boundary that you have to cross over in terms of danger to where you can do all this stuff. You can't just make laws. I mean, we're reaching a point now, hopefully in a few months, in the way we treat this thing, even if there's never a vaccine, but the treatments get better and better to the point where virtually nobody dies. Which I think we're almost getting there. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't see how you just say live with it. I mean I don't know if it's today. I don't want to be the Solomon. I don't want to be the Caesar, but we're getting close, John. I mean, or maybe it's another month. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Maybe it's 2 months. But it's not this. The letter that was sent today, that was sent to the White House by like 30 doctors, signed it. Of course, they're all getting paid. They said, we should absolutely shut the entire country down till we beat this thing once and for all, and there's like zero chance of anybody getting it. Jen, I don't see how that even begins to happen. This thing was not containable in December. It's not containable now. Thank God it's not worse. I'm
on the same page as you on this. I'm appalled at, you know, the growing, you know, shouts that we need another firmer lockdown the second time around, and then we can beat it. I mean, this to me is the last nail in the coffin for everything. If we think we'll ever come out of that second, more draconian lockdown, but also that we'll somehow eradicate the disease. Neither one is in the cards, and yet you got people, you know, seriously recommending this. And I, you know, Indiana just expanded its mask policy in public, and they were, you know, kind of lagging behind Illinois in its ruthlessness. So now I'm wondering what Illinois is going to do next.
The pressure
is trending the wrong way for me.
The pressure on these politicians, the pressure on these guys, is absolutely tremendous. I mean, every time there's a press conference, I mean, I actually, much as I'm not a huge fan, I actually like the idea that Jay Pritzker, it's the amazing strident first row. It doesn't matter male or female. These other guys have done it. Why aren't you doing it? Don't you care about lives? I mean, yeah, I care about lives. I mean, and I never even call on anybody and say, well, look at that face mask you're wearing. Now, this weekend, but why? The news only goes one way, John. I mean, it had to be 3 months ago, and I saw somebody walking down the street with one of those stupid masks with the valves so you can breathe better that you're supposed to be, you know, use, like, if you're in a construction facility where you're actually working and have to breathe. I go, those things can't do any good. Now, this weekend, we still have the story is, this is the story, Morning Glory, and we're sticking to it. The story is any single thing you put in front of your face is effective. And yet Saturday morning, I kick on my machine, up comes the computer, and there's some doctor saying, what are you doing wearing these things with the valves? They're useless for both you and the other person. Now, that article died. Nobody says that. And, you know, it isn't, now, but there hasn't been any, people still think that the stagecoach mask they haven't washed in 3 months is anything other than making things worse. I mean, does anybody think, I mean, everybody knows, I have one that, I have several, because I'm not going to be a person who fights with everybody when I go in someplace, I put the mask on. And I have the ones that, like, the nurses wear in a dentist's office. Now, I know if I was serious about it, every time I walk into Home Depot and walk by people and those kinds of things, when I walk out of there, I should throw it away and put a new one in. Yet I'm going on 2 weeks with this thing, and I bet I'm way better than most. Anybody who thinks that thing in another 2 weeks isn't the most dangerous thing I own, I mean, it should be burned in the backyard. I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, when this idea that all of a sudden this is helping anybody, I mean, they're out of their mind.
I think it's just another form of control to make life difficult and painful, even though it's already pretty difficult and painful for most people. It makes it hard to breathe. It makes it hard to communicate with people. It makes it hard to recognize people, even. When the mask is on, I have trouble around here figuring out who my neighbors are. And I generally know what they look like, but that's what a mask does. It disguises your identity. So, you know, that's another way of confusing people and disorienting them and making them feel like they're less safe, even when it's their next-door neighbors who are masked. This, to me, is all part of just a campaign to beat people down and to make them accept, you know, an ever-worsening lifestyle that they never would have accepted in other times.
But you know, Jan, who's for it? And I'm going to say, people who own, like, bars and restaurants, they're all for it because they're pragmatists. And you're never going to get the two sides, the side that says, I don't need no stinking mask, and the one that says you should, we don't want bars open. And if this is the price you have to pay to get your place open, you know, it reminds me an awful lot of the casino and things in Illinois. We don't want no stinking casino. We need a casino. We need the revenue. We need something. And all of a sudden, somebody in the room says, how about if we put them on boats? which had nothing to do with anything. And somebody goes, yeah, because that way, because it gave the people who didn't want the casinos the mental whatever, the morphine shot that said, well, if they don't work, we can just send them down river. It's not like it's a, or something. And all of a sudden, we've got 10 casinos or 8 or whatever the hell it was on riverboats. What sense did that make for anybody? Yet a bar, I mean, I know Tripoli is way happier being open where people have to wear a mask to walk through the place than before. And if that's the price they have to pay for being open, they're willing to do it, even though I'm sure they think it's an idiotic idea. I'm just saying.
They are pragmatists.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, you have, you know, the teachers' unions that are, you know, don't want to go back unless they're guaranteed complete safety and masks aren't enough. Face-to-face contact in any shape or form is unthinkable. It's all got to be remote.
Yep.
And, you know, I think, well, how dedicated are you teaching if you really are pushing for that as a substitute to face-to-face? Wouldn't you want face-to-face if you have any love of teaching or love of your students? And I'm not saying you have to be a teacher, but it certainly helps you're teaching.
The idea of getting paid for doing nothing is getting real, real good for a lot of
real,
people.
It's real attractive, and it's getting too easy to kind of, you know, build it into the system now.
But I, my, you know, you wonder when this stuff comes down like that, Jen, is you gotta get that out of the equation. Plus, you know what is really bizarre when you look at the news? I think I can find a lot of articles, of scientific articles that agree with me, that if you look at some of the samples and so forth, as many as 40 to 50 million people in this country may have already had it. Now, and the first thing somebody's going to say is, nobody's sure how long the antibodies are going to last. You're right. Nobody's sure if it's 1 year, 2 years, or more than that. I'm going to guess year and a half, two, like a regular flu or cold. But it's not going to be next week, okay? It's not going to be like the measles where you're good for life. I mean, I get that. But those 40 or 50 million people, why can't they teach? Why can't they walk into a bar without a mask? Why can't they go play basketball on the lake?
Absolutely.
SP Futures up 19, NASDAQ Futures up 116. We're bullish on some of the numbers this week. We'll be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty and the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? Have you been frustrated by the lack of income your investments have provided? If you have answered yes to either of these questions, then we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. So please give me a call at 602-298-1278, 602-298-1278, so that I can explain further the benefits that PTI can offer you and your portfolio.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for
for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. Sometime out, Mr. Jan Flanagan. She's AV on the board. SP Futures up 17.50 now. NASDAQ Futures up 103. Individual stocks. Apple's up $4. Had a rough week last week. It's back up to 374 after touching, I don't know, touch 400, but I think it got real close, 399. Microsoft's up $2. Had a rough week, too. They had earnings. This week, Apple has earnings. We got a bunch of earnings this week. We'll be talking about every day after this one. So, Jan, let me say that even you and I can make a hand sanitizer. All you need is a little
60%
bit of
alcohol, right?
It's like 80% of rubbing alcohol, probably 5% hydrogen peroxide, and I'm going to say 15% of something that makes the other two not smell, right?
Right. Dish soap.
Yeah. How do you? No, dish soap, because then you got to rinse it. You got to have something that just smells, because the alcohol and peroxide will just evaporate. Whole idea with hand sanitizer is you don't have to go wash, rinse it off, right? How do we, in this day and age, this is the country that gave you the Golden Gate Bridge, Hoover Dam, and a man on the moon. We have 75 brands that are being recalled as being dangerous. How in God's name do you screw that up? Because there's actually, for those of you that don't know, the difference between ethanol, which is alcohol, and methanol, which is better known as wood alcohol. Methanol, if you drink it, you're screwed. And by the way, if you put it on your skin, you absorb it, you're pretty much screwed. How the hell can we screw this up? 75 brands.
Well, it shows that there's something really wrong in the licensing and testing arm here somewhere.
We shouldn't
need the haste to get this stuff out there. That people kind of look the other way. And
Jan, we were.
Wouldn't even think something like that would be possible.
We had stills in the backwoods, for God's sake. I happen to know some people, not that I could mention any names, that have a still, and the first thing that comes off, it smells so much different. You wait until the wood alcohol drains off, and you can tell when the. I can't do it, but those guys, they can just tell by the smell. When the first shot comes off, it's methanol, right? And then it becomes ethanol. And how can people that have chemists that can't know the difference between the two? I mean, what are we doing? I would think that if anything we could do in this country is operate a still, which is essentially all alcohol is, right? we can't even do that. What is wrong with us? I mean,
they took chemistry in an online setting or something. I don't know.
I am... but I mean, how can that even be? The weird part is I still cannot find rubbing alcohol anywhere. Can you?
No.
It's all being sold to people making these hand sanitizers. Fortunately, I don't know why I had it, because when you're doing a lot of stuff for construction guys and so forth, you always like a little something in case you have to sanitize something. So I just happened to find a big bottle of rubbing alcohol in my truck. Which, of course, now I have it in the front seat, and I have the paper towels. So whenever I come out of a place, I throw that on. But, I mean, eventually I'm going to run out of this. And I cannot. I just said, okay, this will last me a while, but I can't find any anywhere. Audrey says if you go to, like, a Myers or a CVS, like, on a Monday morning, you can get it. But by Monday afternoon, it's gone, and that's it for a week or something. Anyway, but serious
stuff.
Well,
we've moved on from toilet paper to alcohol, so.
Well, you still can't buy.
Floating crap game, it seems.
You still can't see stuff like Formula 409, because that was considered to be good. You would never try and buy Lysol. Good luck with that. But two things I definitely want to talk about that we talk about every Monday, well, most every Monday these days, are the graphs that I send out to people. And again, they do a nice job on this article. It's always the same people. Alex Herring and Nate Ratner. The five charts illustrating U.S. economic trends amid the pandemic. It's on CNBC, right? So it's not a plug or anything. It just is. And I'm not so sure these are the charts that I would use, but these guys are doing the work, so I'll roll with them. The first one is changes in requests for directions on Apple Maps. So, of course, now these guys are 1%ers. They got their Apple. And I don't think they care about Apple maybe using slave labor in China. Well, whatever. Let's just say. But the requests had been coming up pretty dramatically for driving, walking, and transit. Now, the driving requests are back up pretty much. Walking, somewhat the same way. Transit, still not so much. So nobody's on transit. Transit's still down 50%. But all this stuff is kind of flatlined in the last 2 weeks, which is not what we're looking to see. Same thing with restaurant bookings are actually down from the end of June, like pretty dramatically. They've made it up to being 40% down at the end of June, and now we're back down to 65% down. It's like, when Carl first went the first night in Florida, or was it Kenny? Kenny told us he went out someplace. They got polyurethane between the tables. You're 8 feet apart, 10 feet apart. The prices are all doubled. It's like Vegas. There's no restaurants, no bars, no drinks at the table. I mean, come on, John. It's no fun. Why am I going there?
These are bad signs.
I mean, the prices...
it wasn't what I expected to see when things started to creep up, at least, emotionally in people, when the lockdown softened and you would expect life to gradually recover where it was. And I see pretty much transit ridership flat.
Yep.
It hasn't, if anything, maybe it's gone down from where it was a month ago.
This one here in restaurant bookings, obviously they're down 100% in April when they're all closed. From the end of May when various people started open up, went from down 100% to down 40% on a peak, and now we're back to be down 65%. So we've gone the other way. Plus, the prices are outrageous in some of these places. Get a little of this. The Dunkin' Donuts, which has become such a total rip. Bagel cream cheese on Saturday morning for one of my workers. Guess how much?
$5?
$3.40.
Oh, $3.40. Okay. Breathe a sigh of relief.
It's like, are we serious here? I said, $3.40 for a bagel? This is not... at a fine dining restaurant. This is at a Dunkin' Donuts where you carry it out, right? Anyway. So, hotel occupancy rate. We were 60% of capacity in March, down to 22 in April, back up to, let's say, 45 in July. Now we're 44. So it's totally flattened. It hasn't gone down, thank God, but it's air travel. Again, went from minus 90% back up to minus 64%. Now we're down to about 75. So it's flattened and stuck. The only thing, it's home purchases, we're down 30%. They actually went higher than before, but now they've flattened as well. So we're at the flat number here, John, and I don't know. We can't survive here. And I want to dive into that. Frank, I don't know if you saw the thing Frank sent out. Sort of the same thing I've been talking about in Chicago. He found a site where they had it all in New York, and anecdotal evidence. What do you say that the hot dog guy used to do 400 a day is now doing 10? The ridership on the subway is what, down 85% or something?
Yeah.
And these buildings, they're 8% occupied. The Time Life Building, Rockefeller Center. I mean, what? Jan, take me through. For those that don't know, Jan is a serious real estate title lawyer expert kind of guy. If we're talking, let's just pick a building down here. Pick the Board of Trade, who they sold to somebody. They don't own it anymore. The floor still isn't doing anything. They claim August 1st or something. Who knows if that happens. I think the building is 8% occupied. And I happen to know two or three of the tenants that are there that just, paid a lot of money for longer-term leases. What happened? Take me through the... few people go out of business. They're not paying their rent. All right, so I'm assuming these guys, since they bought it from the Board of Trade, I'm sure didn't have a mortgage, so it would be a whole different conversation. I'm sure these new guys do. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure these new guys probably do, right, John? I don't think they...
Maybe several mortgages, yeah.
Yeah, or several mortgages. Take me through how this all works. If somebody dashes on a lease and they're toast, you know, good luck with that, I guess. Now, you tell me, how does this work from one to the other? The first day that I don't pay rent or another place doesn't pay rent, I either have the money and don't, or I'm waiting for money from the government. Well, oh, yeah, and you're going to get it maybe. Or I say, look, I can only own half this month, but I'll give you the rest when things get better, if things get better. How does this all work its way through the whole system? To what is the usual bank? What size bank holds the note on one of the mortgages at the Board of Trade? Is it City? Is it Lakeside? I mean, is it somebody in the middle?
It would be big. It would be
Utah.
Chemical Bank. International concerns, investors, a group of banks, interlocking financing. And they're all, I think, all major office buildings now. I don't think there's any local financing for any of them, either for improvements or acquisitions. I think it's global stuff. It's foreign banks, Chinese banks, French banks, British banks. This is what I saw in my closing years in the real estate business, that there was no local financing for a new property in any shape or form. So if a bank like that has a portfolio of the Board of Trade and who knows how many other similar buildings in Chicago, you can bet they've got a similar pattern in Atlanta and Detroit and New York and San Francisco and L.A. and Dallas, you name it. They've got a whole cluster of similar properties that they went out and targeted or were targeted for financing because they had the money. And if they've got unperforming loans in any of them, and of course now they've got unperforming loans in all of them, given the way occupancy and business has come down, the impact, and it's not just in the United States, of course, it's globally, it's in their home countries, everything else, it's a bank collapse of unimaginable size, a reduction in value of their collateral that takes them out. This is unsustainable, and all they can do to kind of compensate is raise the rents on anybody else who's in there, or get rid of these things ASAP to somebody at bargain basement prices, and hope that somebody is around who can take this off of their books. But who's going to do that in a climate like this?
Well, Jan, on the best day. I mean, and again, everyone's an all individual cases, I get it, but on the best day, let's use the Board of Trade again, how many people cannot pay their rent and the place still be able to meet their mortgage payment? I mean, what's the give there? They used to call it back in the day, I don't really know what the hell it is anymore, whenever there was a project at Pullman, it was always my job, actually for the CBOE too, because they didn't have a financial analyst, where I would do the sensitivity analysis. I mean, if 5% of the people don't pay their rent, I have to believe the place can still pay their mortgage. It might not have any profit that month. But
it also could be stressful for other owners too. It's a kind of a flashpoint that differs depending on what other stuff these owners have that is doing okay. They can take a bigger hit on one asset if they can survive with what's going on elsewhere. If they've got subsidized real estate, it will cushion them, and they could go up maybe 8-10%. But I think once you get that, in any case, if you've got 10% of the floor space not performing and you can't give it away and you can't get other tenants to absorb it or add it into their lease, you can raise the rents on the other tenants, but that's going to cause them to flee too. You'll have a bigger vacancy rate, and pretty soon you've just got a tumbling effect where the building becomes an empty shell. That's kind of what happened in the Depression. It happened very quickly with all these glittering towers that were built in the 20s, and a lot of them are still standing downtown, but they've had tortuous histories if you start going into that, because they were ghost towns for a decade, some of them, before the things bounced back.
Well, I don't know if you're a fan of Blue Bloods, but one show, the grandpa and Tom Selleck took the kid, the nephew or grandson, out for dinner, and for the man talk, he's like 15 or 16, and they go, now remember, if you can only afford one, you can sleep in the car, you can't drive the apartment. So keep the car. But now the question is, if I'm one of these buildings, Which check do I send, for the mortgage or to the city for the property taxes?
Well, probably for the mortgage, just because that's big bucks, really big bucks, and the delinquency fees and everything else, you know, shoot up pretty fast after, you know, 30, 60 days of, you know, dithering around. The taxes, you get some breathing space because the bill comes just twice a year, and there's, of course, delinquency and interest on those too, but you can always try to challenge. You can get somebody to try to fight it, and you can, you know, put money aside for that. But with the mortgage, you know, that's going to put you in the toilet pretty fast. So you don't have any wiggle room with that.
Well, your taxes are on commercial stuff. I know you know a lot about this. It's based a lot on the revenue in a building, correct?
Right.
So if all of a sudden something like this happens, and you can say, hey, I got no revenue last month, or half the people didn't pay their rent, can you challenge that quickly for an adjustment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because you pay them in arrears, you might have to wait a while to get your relief before the thing is settled. But eventually you may be able to get a reduction in the bill because the building isn't valued accurately depending on its, you know, rentable space or, you know, its occupancy rate.
Well, the places
that's pretty easy to prove, you know, and that's pretty cut and dried as far as you know, how to establish that for the assessment.
Well, John, I'm, you know, reasonably tight with some of the guys who were, you know, are pretty high up the chain over at Ceres in a couple of these restaurants down here, but I not high enough up to know what their lease is and so forth, but I do know that a lot of the, you know, I don't even know how Chicago cut and some of those, but I think aren't a lot of those leases where the lease itself isn't, I won't say it's not onerous, but not totally onerous, but then the building, it was a way to, we're all in this together. Sometimes don't they get 2 or 5 or 7% of the gross of the restaurant?
Yeah, yeah. That's just a formula that can be built into the lease terms, yeah.
So if the place is flat out closed, the beat down to the owner of the restaurant probably isn't near as bad as you might think it would
right.
be, and it's really the building is suffering right along with it.
Right, because nobody's making money at that point. And so,
well, what is the? So I guess where I'm going with this, since this is Stocks and Jocks, every time I watch the movie, or I don't watch it, I mean, because I didn't really want to watch it, but the one where The Big Short about the 2007-2008 stuff.
Yeah.
The only issue with that, Jan, is there was. And I'm pretty good at this. I'm not as big on the fixed income and so forth as our guy on Thursday, DeAngelitis, but there was no way to short for anybody that I have. I mean, anybody in the broker-dealer community, you could never have shorted one of those mortgage bonds that were custom-made for, an Arab prince or something, or a bank in Europe. I mean, you couldn't... There's no way to short that. I mean, if you thought the bank was going to go under, you could short the bank. But right now, what you're saying is, even if people have this, I mean, right now I think we might still be and we can make a save here, Jan, but the more I talk to people, oh no, it'll be like a year before we come out or something. Or if we don't have a perfect vaccine and that we force everybody to take, I'm sitting there going, I can't imagine the debt loads, the carnage, if we're doing this next summer. In Chicago, New York, and San Francisco. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know these places you're talking about, these mortgage brokers out of Europe or someplace. Who the hell do I short? Just the general market? I mean, it's not like you say, oh, man, these guys from, like, First Third, I'm just throwing one out there, or Fifth Third, or where the hell they are. Leave it at First Third because the place doesn't exist. All of a sudden, these guys are all over the stuff. If you want to, if you think we're going down a rat hole, you short these guys or buy puts on them or something. I mean, I don't know of any subject. I mean, obviously, every bank, everybody will take somewhat of a hit, so you might want to be generally not bullish the market. But I don't know that there's a place that either one of us can name and straight in 70 it's going to be 2, you know, 6 months from now or anything. Do you?
No.
Because that would be a nice trade, even though you don't want anybody to go from 70 to 2.
You know, the thing I really worry about, and this is, you know, long past what my lifespan is likely to be, but when things shook out during the Depression in Chicago, as an example, the Loop was so overbuilt for office space, when things crashed in 29 and ground on pretty much, you know, didn't really recover until after World War II in any shape or form. But the last tall building built downtown in Chicago was the Field Building in 1931. It's when it opened during the Depression. And that's the one at LaSalle and Adams on the northeast corner where Bank of America, LaSalle National Bank used to be there. Beautiful Art Deco, you know, Depression-era building. That was opened in 1931. No more loop office construction of any consequence until the Prudential Building in 1954. That's, you know, 23 years.
Well, Jen, wasn't the, since I've been down here, wasn't the Chicago Title and Trust Building the last building for a decade?
Yeah, the one on 161 North Clark there?
Yeah.
And, of course, the loop is different now from what it was in 1931, certainly, because there is business in River North and in the West Loop and in the South Loop that didn't exist back then. The loop was an extremely densely concentrated business center, and it's less so now. But you know, the other business districts that have evolved since the Depression are in the same boat, and they've got tall buildings all over the place. They're overbuilt, too, for the kind of use that's likely to be made of them if there is any kind of a freeze in activity or, God help us, another shutdown. You're not going to see these buildings able to survive. I mean, they'll have to be converted to residential at cheap rents and not maintained and be falling down, you know, sooner than they were expected to. And they're just going to be white elephants. And there were a lot of white elephants, you know, in Chicago from the 30s into the 40s and into the 50s. And that changed drastically, you know, up until, say, the last 10 years or so. But I just don't see it coming back as fast as 23 years the next time. I think that the reset is going to be so huge that it'll be an unrecognizable rental community or you know, for business opportunities for builders or leasing agents. I just don't know how anybody can plan for anything like what we've been used to. You're going to have people fleeing, you know, the downtown areas for business purposes and building much cheaper things if they build at all. And there'll be plenty of stuff that they can convert and you know, salvage some income from by not.
Well, the CBOE that burned up their mortgage when I was on the board in the 90s, so you got no mortgage, right? Well, who knows, maybe they took another one. What is going to possess those, I'll use the term, idiots, from moving over to the post office and trying to sell their place? Who the hell is going to buy it?
No, that's the thing. It's a real white elephant. Nobody will want it. What can you do with it? You know?
Well, the people, it's kind of a single-use building, but still, across the street, the Board of Trade is, what do you figure, 40% occupied at best? That's if there was no COVID. And 425, the other side, is probably 70%. South Loop is dead. Without the exchanges, South Loop is useless.
There's no retail.
No.
There's some education. I mean, there's DePaul and Robert Morris.
Yeah, but that's over on Columbia State. That's College, a ways away. I'm talking about LaSalle.
Like that, but they're moribund, too, in a climate like this.
I don't sense the urgency, Jan, and I don't want anybody sick or dead that didn't have to be, okay? I mean, you know me better than that, but I don't sense the urgency or the danger of right now what I consider to be the status quo. I sense it, and there's a gentleman on my block, and he's been involved in biotech startups and all this stuff, and I'm dying to get him on maybe this week or next week for to talk about some of the companies that are working hard on vaccines and those kinds of things. I think there are a lot of them, and I think he would know some of the names. Who knows, maybe we get a tip from the guy. That'd be nice. He goes, we need to get stuff going because the danger of people having nothing to do we're screwing people up more psychologically than we are anything else. He goes, this is just nuts. I mean, the danger in going back to work is worth it.
Absolutely, Tom. Look at what we've absorbed in our recent lifetimes. I never heard of Alzheimer's disease until I think 1982 or 1983.
Yep.
And it's ravaged my family and people I know, and it's in the news constantly, and it's growing, you know, at astronomical speed. Autism rates have exploded. Parkinson's rates have exploded. There's lots of unexplained growth in health problems that you can't say are communicable in the way perhaps that this virus is. But you look at the suffering and the pain and the the cost of the healthcare system because of these other things that we've absorbed into daily life, for better or worse. Maybe we haven't paid enough attention to what's going on with them, but we certainly haven't stopped living because of them. And we didn't ask people to stay home because of them or anything else. And this is now going to turn us upside down. And what will we have to show for that other than further suffering?
Yeah,
Lost wages and lost futures and crashed dreams and a rebellious population that has, lost hope about everything. Can we afford that? I don't think so.
Well, and people, and like I said, 80% of the people aren't even sick.
Remember Kerry Austin, the alderman on the South Side, who was tested twice for the disease, once at Little Company Mary for treatment. It was negative. They determined she should have gone to Northwestern, where she had her surgery, that this was apparently the condition was a result of. So they sent her to Northwestern Hospital, where she tested positive. And at this point, I don't know whether she ever had it. She said she was never really sick.
Yeah, she
but now we've got two tests for that one person. They cancel each other out. And what kind of useful data is that?
Well, I just go back to all the different flus that have been around. Every time there was a bad flu, if I got it, they would say the hospitals are full. And I always figured, I was 25, 30, 40 years old. I said, whatever it is, those people need the hospital more than I do. I'm staying home. I'll be all right in a couple of days, as miserable as these 2 days are. I never got a test. None of these numbers can be any good.
No, and I've resolved, what do I need a test for? What could I possibly do with that information?
Yeah.
Other than, agonize about it. There's nothing. I can't fix the fact if I'm positive, but I never was what I would call sick, except for that one episode last, summer, about a year ago this time, when I was really sick with COVID-like symptoms. But there was no test.
Had you been over to Wuhan? Have you been over to Wuhan at the time?
Right. No, never been to Wuhan. Never been to China.
Well, Johnny,
how
much time do you think we have before we run the risk of having real problems coming back? Give us about another month if we don't open some stuff up. I think
a month, maybe maximum. I think when things start to roll around for this the school year mentality, and things aren't in any way where they were before, you're going to see tremendous demoralization, and people are going to resign themselves to never working again in the jobs that they thought they were qualified for. You're going to see scrappier, angrier, stuff going on in the street. You're going to see more unrest. You're going to see more bankruptcies. It's just the domestic violence, suicides, opioid abuse, you name it. People will be, ready for a tailspin.
Real quick,
we can't afford that. I'm with you on that.
The lady downstairs had her dog for a walk the other morning at 5:30, and the lady was all over because she let the dog off without a leash in the park. The dog is the most inoffensive creature going, and she was ready to have her arrested at 5:30 in the morning. And she said to her, "We've been watching you from the other street. We know you do this once a week, and we've been watching you." So, what, Gladys Kravitz is all over the place now, or what?
No, Gladys Kravitz apparently was going to have the law behind her, too.
Evidently.
Which is no fun. It's bad enough to have Gladys. It's bad enough to have the cops standing next to her.
Talk to you next week, if not before, bud. SP Futures up 15, NASDAQ Futures up 92. Be back, Mr. David Adelman.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments.
You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. David Andelman is going to be here in a second. She's AV on the board. S&P futures are up 13 bucks. Nasdaq futures up 90. We got the Dow futures up 109 over in Europe. So we're up to the upside here. We got everybody negotiating in Washington on the new coronavirus bailout. It looks like it's going to be less than last time. And it looks like the 600-hour number per week that people are getting, I'm going to say, is probably going to drop. My guess is going to be somewhere between 250 and 3. Maybe 2, but it's not going to be 6, it doesn't look like. DAX up 34.2%. FTSE down 11.1%. CAC around down 9, that's 0.1, somewhere in there. Asia, Nikkei down 35, really quiet over here, 0.1%. Shanghai up 8.2%. Hang Seng down 102.4%. Bonds, 0.57 here. The Bund minus 0.47, Japan hanging in there plus 0.01. Oil up 36 cents, 41.65. Brent up to 36 cents, 43.70. Natural gas down 3 cents to 177. RBOB 127 unchanged. Here's the story of the morning though. Gold up 36 bucks, 1933. Silver up $1.64. So much for this can't go any higher. I put a spread on top of the market last week for my people because I got some calls kind of buried, and now my new spread is buried. I'm going to have to fix that today. Don't worry, I'll imagine my way out of it, I hope. It's a winner, but boy, oh boy. Copper unchanged at 289, platinum 978. Hey, V, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports? Don't forget sports. They're playing now, for God's sake.
I know. Well, now I know. Well, we are having a pretty gloomy morning right now, 76 degrees currently. Showers and thunderstorms are possible again today afternoon, mainly south of I-80. Expect highs in the 80s and mostly dry conditions through Friday. The highest of the day will be 83 and then the lowest 68 at night. 86 degrees currently in Phoenix, another sunny and dry day with the highest of 109 and the lowest 88. Traffic looks pretty clear, not much of the delays. We had a couple of accidents, and we also have a report of Jeffrey Avenue between East 77th Street and US 41 is closed due to an early accident and shooting investigation. And Michigan Avenue Bridge has lowered and is open to citizens after being raised for the weekend. That's all for traffic and weather.
The Cubs are 1-2. The Sox lost 2. Just saying, you know. How come you weren't watching all of the sports all weekend in preparation for your report today?
I was studying.
Oh, yes, you were studying. So what do you think about the... David, you with us?
I'm here.
So what do you think about the basketball player that left the dome, the enclosed dome, to go to the strip joint and claims them when... and he comes back with the COVID... So he must have been doing more than just watching from afar. And he claims he went there just to get dinner, David, to carry out.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, you know what? Let's pretend, and I think it's a stretch, that it's the truth. Why would you go there?
David, don't you know some strip joints have the best hamburgers?
I mean, we had a
taste
for Chinese food last night, and, you know, they had no dining out. They do it carry out or whatever. It's dine in or carry out. And it's a place we've frequented for many, many years, and I consider it a clean place and whatever, but you don't know. And so we just said, hey, we have a taste, pass.
I've been having to carry in stuff. I haven't had any issue with it, but I mean, I think those places have been doing their best to keep things together, probably cleaner than your kitchen.
But, I mean, you look inside, and I have, and, I mean, there's people shoulder to shoulder and big tables, 12 at a table or whatever. There's certainly no social distancing in there, and they got the air conditioning blasted. And even though bathrooms and floors and everything are clean, who knows? But a strip joint?
Well, he just went there to pick up a hamburger.
From the carry-out window, I presume?
Oh, he just said, everybody knows the strip joints have the world's best hamburgers. I don't even know they serve food. But anyway, I suppose some do. I don't know. But, we got durable goods.
You know one thing about you, and I truly respect you, every time gold and silver are through the roof, you get funnier.
Well, this happens. The weird part is we had durable goods orders up 7.3%. A lot of that's... aircraft and stuff, but still, it's a big number. Whenever you have, you've been a trader as long as I have, David, you know your strengths and weaknesses, right? And the strength is, I'm never afraid to put a position on that makes sense, because if it starts to go against me, I am at all the confidence in the world that out of all the people there are in the world, I'm on the top tier of people that can try and fix it, right? I don't look at having to work out exactly like I want it to, because if it isn't along the way, I'll adjust it. I mean, that's what I'm good at. But I also know that the biggest weakness of a trader is if you think something's a buy at like $10 and you buy it there, the chances of you still owning it a year from now at 90 are virtually zero. because it's just not the way you're... Okay, I bought it at 10. It made it to 20 in 2 weeks. I'm happy as a clam. I'll take me and my people out of it. That's one of the best trade I've had in 2 years, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, a week later, it's 30. You know, you just, everything has...
Hey, I'm the same way. You know, yeah. I look at, you know, a swing. Oh, I can see a chart, you know, formation, a breakout of this, that. And I think, you know, it's same kind of thing. Goes up, you know, it should have the flagpole, and a bullish flag is $12, and, you know, so I think it can go from 20 to 32 over the next you know, there's no time frame. The stem of the flag is 8 periods, so maybe that's a weekly, maybe it's 8 weeks or whatever. And then a week and a half instead of the $12, it gives you 5. Well, I mean, you got 40% of the objective, but you did it in a week and a half instead of waiting 8 weeks, and you know it's certainly no guarantee, even though if it's a perfectly symmetrical, you know, technical pattern that you've seen so many times over, you know, the hall, that you're going to get, you know, any more, at most 80%. You know, the 80% to me, it means achievement. So if you're only looking for 80 and you got 40 in a week and a half, you annualize that, that's enormous. Take it.
Well, when I used to lecture a lot, I would say the way a trader looks at something, you know, somebody in the room might have a really nice tie on. And I'll say, boy, I really love your tie. I'll bet it's worth, you know, $50. You know, I don't know how much it is, but say it's worth $50. If you offer it to me at 30, I'm interested. And if I buy it there and somebody offers me 70, it's all his. Right?
Yeah, you know, really.
If you're a trader, everything has a buy price and a sell price. Anything other than, like, you know, relatives and maybe girlfriends and wives, has a buy and a sell price, pretty much. And, you know, I like your car. It's worth $5,000. Well, if it's for $4,000, I'll take it. If somebody bids me 7, it's gone. I mean, it's, you know, I can always get another car. But
well, and there's a time value, yeah, too. I mean, you know, being, you know, you're an option pro, and I've been doing it for 25 years, and, you know, certainly not, you know, the level that you learned in the pit and whatever, but there's a time value of money. And let's say you enter a silver trade, and it gives you that bang, it's up a $1.70 today, and you're long, and you haven't seen a move like this in 30 years, and you say, hey, you know, I've been waiting, and it consolidated a little last week, and it actually looked just a touch toppy. Now it's given me one of the biggest one-day moves I've ever seen, or at least for decades. You know, I can take that money and buy whatever, platinum, or, you know, yeah, I still like gold, or I'll sell a put, and if they want to put it back to me at lower levels, I'll take it. There's a time value of money that's inherent, not just in options, but in equities as well.
The only thing I would say different about this, and again, one of the reasons why I'm, you know, good thing the window is shut here, is nobody, I don't think too many people, I won't say nobody, I don't think too many people not only were around when the inflation was here the last time, but were deeply involved in it as I was. Like I said, I did all that stuff for Pullman, not to mention studied under Milton Friedman, those guys in Chicago, what it all is. I know, my heart of hearts, David, that I know I was very early with this position, as you know as well, maybe like a couple of years early, because I saw this inflation coming, and I was early. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I should have had my people and other stuff up until 4 months ago and then shifted them all into gold. I was a little early. So, but now we're catching up on all that stuff, and my guys are pretty happy. But one thing I do know is this isn't a stock. All of a sudden, if everybody starts thinking about inflation, we're still months away from the news getting out, really. I mean,
Maybe never.
But I'm saying, if
I mean, your brother says they'll never tell us the truth, otherwise they'd have to escalate the Social Security benefits.
Well, that's true. But I'm saying, someday, somewhere, this will be. And I mean, it's not like,
I mean, we'll see it in the stores, but I don't know that the government will tell us.
No, I agree. But I'm saying I don't. My experience says that inflation is a trending thing. Once it starts and people get a hold of it, I don't see any reason why gold can't be 2,500 or 28. I'm not predicting it. I'm not buying any more today. But it's not like a one-day move is going to cover a decade of inflation if that's where we're going.
Especially if it's been, yeah, there and they haven't told us.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like a...
Which has been my opinion for 4 years.
I mean, one of the guys that I used to trade with in the OEX pit, when that slowed down some of the guys went to over to the Merck. I mean, and you've done a lot of work over at the Merck. And,
sure.
And one of the guys was trading euros, and he was trading, I don't know, one of the currencies. And I said...
Swiss?
Guy, yeah, a guy, his name was Tommy Tiernan, real nice guy. Yeah. And I go... I said, Tommy, what's the difference between trading in the OEX and over there? And he goes, there's a huge difference. He goes, the OEX, news had come out, it's make its move. you were right, you were wrong, or didn't have anything, or you traded, hopefully, the move itself, in the sense that you're buying and selling, you get some scalping in. By the way, hopefully you're not wrong. You'd like to be right, but you'd rather just be not wrong. He said over there, it's a trending market, because if the dollar starts going down, because it's a 6-week phenomenon, you know, where you might have a market that was up and down for 6 weeks, he said, but it's not the same, because it's not like there's a piece of news that comes out and all of a sudden you make your move. This is, if soybeans or corn decide they're going to go up, you really want to be long for 6 months. It's not like, you know, in our market, or even if you're bullish the market, if you have a big move today, you might not want to be long tomorrow, because you're going to give it all back, even though you might get it back on Wednesday or Thursday. There, the markets are much more trending. Now, I don't know if you agree with
that. The reason, in my opinion, is, and, you know, I've analyzed and researched and played with the biggest traders that exist and the Merck presidents and the like, but in my opinion, it's leverage. You know, I mean, if you're 4% of the underlying contract, you got 25 times as much, you know, reward and risk, and the trends become accentuated and elongated because whatever the losing side is fighting to get out.
Well, I agree with that, but I also
I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, if you buy, you know, IBM and it's 150, you know, it can only go to zero. You can lose 150, and who knows? Maybe it goes to 1,000. But you know, at least, you know, if you're long, what your total risk is. You know, if you're short cattle, and it's, you know, 99 cents, you know, a pound, and I mean, you know, maybe it goes $1.50, $2, and if you're only putting up, you know, margin for 4% of the contract, and you're wrong, all of a sudden it's $1.15, it's $1.30, it's $1.50, and we've seen those prices. You know, you have to do something to cover your leveraged risk.
Well, I guess I would agree with you. The margin part is different, but I think there's other. I mean, if all of a sudden we got Apple's earnings come out this week. Now, if Apple, it's trading 374. If they come out with, you know, super crummy earnings, okay, the stock could open at, you know, 310 or something. If they come out and all of a sudden they're doing great, the stock could open at 420. But the news somewhat is out. Now, it may, you know what I'm saying, David? But if all of a sudden, you know, what the Fed's doing, for instance, is pouring more money into the system, well, if Europe and the Swiss don't follow, all right, it would stand to reason over the next year, say, that the dollar might decline 10% to the euro. But it's not going to happen tomorrow where the dollar is down 10% like Apple. It's going to be, are they really going to have this policy? It'll be like 1% a month for 10 months. It's just
no,
different.
No, I get what you're saying.
But I don't know why it's different like that. But it is. But maybe because of the policy, they have to wait. They have to actually wait and see if more dollars show up or whatever. But it's, you don't, if the announcement is there, you might get a move today. But if it's going to go that way, you have to stay short it. I'm not saying it's going to, and I don't trade the currencies. But you know what I'm saying? Apple, there's a feeling that whatever the news is today, we've digested it. Here's the move. Now tomorrow's another day. But some of these grains, some of the commodities.
Well, also, I think there's something germane to what it is, and that is that, you know, what we're talking about with futures are commodities, and commodities have that, you know, inherent in their being. I mean, you can see if you have, you know, Barrick Gold, you know, or Newmont Mining or whatever, and let's just say they're not diversified into copper, platinum, or this or that or the other, it's all gold, then you're going to see an equity that, to an extent, other than the margin aspect, acts as a commodity. Now, when they commoditize currencies, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different than, you know, a soybean that is a commodity, because a currency is, you know, can be looked at as a commodity. But not necessarily. It's a paper currency. It's something used barter for, you know, exchange of goods. But, you know, when you make a futures contract out of it and you factor in the nature of what a futures contract is, it's an anticipation or bet or, you know, view of what the future looks like for that currency and you commoditize it, then it's going to have kind of a hybrid of both a commodity and a paper currency.
Well, David, you mentioned a couple of the gold companies. How can you tell? There used to be big announcements for every firm, you know, when I used to trade more of this stuff, although I've been trading a lot of it lately. It seems to me that the information as to whether or not they have hedged their stuff was more readily available. Is that just me not knowing where to look, or is that something they stopped putting out?
I don't know the answer to that. Just from, and I'm not a, you know, I'll trade GDX or whatever, mostly for hedges, for accounts, and there's one that I have traded, Kirkland Lake, KL, because it's, you know, on Investors Business Daily, top 50. But I wouldn't say that I'm really active in it. I do see, you know, Cramer has a bunch of, you know, CEOs, especially from Barrick Gold, on quite a bit. And if he asks them, they will say, oh, yeah, we hedged it, you know, $1,200, $1,400, whatever. The information's there. I don't know. I don't read their, you know, quarterly reports or whatever to see if they disclose or not. So I think the information is there. I don't necessarily think that they're hiding it or whatever. I think if, you know, it was requested, they divulge that. Maybe it's asked for in some of these reports that they have to submit, you know, to the SEC. I don't really know the answer to that. I think it's there, but I think you probably have to dig for it more.
Well, that's why I've been much more anxious to do the GDX, which is obviously a combination of a lot of different gold miners, than finding an individual one, with the fear that I'd get one, the thing would run up, and turns out those guys, you know, hedged 80% of it. It doesn't go anywhere. And I didn't want to do that. Because that used to happen.
I don't know the exact answer to that.
Why all of a sudden are they moving?
Why all of a sudden is gold moving?
Gold and silver. I mean, we're not... David, this silver, every time I got long the 18 strike, as soon as it got there, it was like whack-a-mole. It would never go through 18. I must have had that spread on 15 times in the last 2 years. And if it got to 18, if I didn't take my 10 cents and run, I ended up losing dough. And all of a sudden, the thing's almost 23.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly money supply and liquidity. And, you know, South Korea announces, you know, a huge stimulus package, and it's the Asian leader in the equities and whatever. So it's not just even here. You know, Australia has stimulus programs the like. And I think that, you know, you're probably getting central banks to buy the stuff, you know, as a hedge, because they've created their own inflation through these stimulus measures, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's a good part of it. And, you know, the dollar weakness. The dollar is having, you know, substantial weakness, so they're hedging. I mean, silver, I still have a problem understanding, you know, and copper for that matter, because to me they're really industrial metals, and until we see, you know, huge pickups in the economy, although, you know, it can be anticipated off these stimulus measures, I still have a problem with that. But you made a statement last week that I've been wrestling with the whole time, and you basically said, hey, if money supply doubles, the price of silver is going to double. And I don't, being frank, I don't understand that, but, you know, it's obvious that you're correct.
Well, I mean, it comes down to, you would never think that, David. I was just mentioning to John about how when you talk to people, a lot of times everybody has their expertise area, but you don't, people look at the dollar like it's sacred. Okay, but it's really just a medium of exchange.
Right.
And when you, the stuff they made us read in grad school and really in undergrad about the theory of currency, there was never a dollar in it. It was always something else.
Right.
And there are different parts of history to where other things became the medium of exchange. And the medium of exchange needs two things. What? It has to have somewhat of a value on its own, you know, which when you start talking about fiat currency, therein lies sort of the rub, right? I mean, it used to be that, the dollar had a value because it was $35 to the gold, right? $35 to an ounce.
Yeah.
Now that number would be what? 38,000 or something? I mean, it would be incredible how many dollars are out there versus gold. But when you read these articles, a lot of them had to do with, in concentration camps, a lot of times the currency was cigarettes. Right, because for people, I guess, smokers.
That was the barter medium.
That was the barter medium. Or in some places it was booze. Or in some towns it could have been, in Alaska, obviously, in gold mining camps, it was gold, right?
A hamburger from a strip joint.
Yeah, could be. But whatever it is, it had some value on its own where somebody can say, yeah, you know, a half a pint of booze is worth 10 cigarettes or 20 or whatever the number would be. So there was some way you could always value it against something else. You're not used to when it's the U.S. dollar, the U.S. of A, Uncle Sam, you're not used to having the dollars themselves change in value, at least in your mind. Right?
Right.
But it can happen. I mean, if you ask somebody, especially who's been in the market forever, if you say, what if McDonald's splits their stock? I got to trade 199. A stock split, for those that don't know, is nothing more than what they call 100% stock dividend. In which case, if you have 100 shares of McDonald's, you now have 200. Okay, so the company's got the same, quote, value in terms of dollars. So if the stock splits, instead of being 199, it's going to be 99.50. Now, it can go up or down from there, but basically, that's one shifts in relation to the other. But what you're not used to hearing or even thinking about is what if somebody ran around and for every dollar in your pocket, they put a $2 bill. For every five, you got a 10. Now, the next day, everybody's got double the amount of money. Okay? Now, you could be some sneaky person like AV who's going to run up and say, I owe you
Excuse
20.
Me?
I owe you 20. Here's your 20. But now it's really 40, right? Because
no,
now...
I get what you're saying.
So, I mean, you were not used to thinking about this. But, David, I did some research last weekend in the 60s when the Fed was being partially idiots, partially trying to pay for the Vietnam War on a credit card. They were increasing the money supply, and we went off the gold standard. The most they ever increased it was 12.5% a year. This year we're talking 36 to 40. Now, granted, for a little while, you're going to see the velocity. The time it changes hands, the rapidity would change, drop a little bit, so you're not going to have 36% inflation this year. But if you start pushing a little bit of velocity up, I mean, all this stuff is, I mean, what's, you're talking about, you're doing exactly what I was just saying. So, David, we're...
Okay, so now I see why silver should go up, too.
Yeah, okay, so Apple earnings this week, got any kind of a clue?
Nah. I think, you know, I have some people long, and I think, you know, that hedges should be placed. I think the multiple, as you reflected, all good news for the foreseeable future until they have their handle big time on 5G.
I'm not
bearish, but I think you should hedge.
Still totally immune from all the China stuff, huh? Wow. They are. All right, Dave, I think it's
a little bit overvalued.
SP Futures up 13, NASDAQ Futures up 87. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.